A lot of moving parts, you can imagine, not only moving from San Antonio to here, but also just adjusting to being back in parish life. This morning, I want to talk about an option that homilists are given in preaching. One of the courses that I teach at the seminary is homiletics. That's the art of preaching. You may not know this, but when priests preach, especially on Sundays and holy days of obligation, but especially on Sundays, they have a few options that they can choose from in terms of subject matter on which to preach. So naturally, the first would be the readings, as you just heard. The second is if today were a solemnity, let's say in recent weeks we've had the solemnity of Corpus Christi or Holy Trinity, one could preach on that. The third option, which is not often exercised, but is the one I will exercise this morning, is the option to preach on a civic observance in the country that one is preaching in, or perhaps some event that has just occurred that requires some addressing from the pulpit. So for instance, I was a deacon when 9/11 happened. And believe you me, the Sunday after 9/11, we were all preaching about what had just happened. And I'm from Arlington, Virginia. My zip code for 2 years was an international crime scene because I'm from a place called Pentagon City, literally right across the street from the Pentagon. So I preached on what happened in our town and what was going on around the world as we witness that catastrophe and experience its aftermath. So today I want to preach about the fact that we are just a couple of days away from the 4th of July, Independence Day. And it's an excellent opportunity for us to consider the intersection between our faith and a biblical understanding of concepts that manifest themselves in our civic lives as Americans. And in particular, I'll just talk briefly today about biblical notions of freedom and what we as believers, firmly grounded in a Catholic sense of freedom, have to offer our countrymen as Americans. And you'll see in a moment that our understanding as Catholics about freedom is at times a great variance at the way that freedom is used very willy-nilly in our society today. So I'll give you an example. I stand before you this morning as a relatively free speaker of English. English is my first language. I speak three other languages fluently, but I will say that my proficiency in the other three languages is not as good as English. So all of us, you may not realize this, we all think in a language. When you have thoughts, they are in a language. Okay, and maybe the older you get, the more muddled that language may seem to feel to you, but nevertheless, you're still thinking in a language. I think in English. My mother's first language is Spanish. She thinks in Spanish. And so sometimes when we're talking and she formulates things in English, which are to me humorous because it's not formulated that way in English, I get it, okay? But we all think in a language. Now, I'm a free speaker of English, which means that over the course of my 50 years on this earth, I have had an opportunity to cultivate, to develop how to articulate this language. I'm not free as a speaker of English because growing up, my parents allowed me to say things however I wanted. No, I was regulated by syntax and grammar. Topics apparently not taught anymore to grade school children. I learned how to write, not only to communicate orally, verbally, but also in the written word, which are two very different kinds of communication. Expository prose, very different than speaking in a public setting. So the more I learned English, the more I got proficient in it, it was because I was internalizing within myself, the laws of the language. So in effect, from a biblical perspective, the law of speaking English has never been the enemy of my freedom. In fact, the laws of English are the condition necessary for me to experience freedom in speaking English. If you've ever heard a non-native speaker of English, whether they do not know the grammar, the syntax, or perhaps they have an accent that you may not be very familiar with, generally speaking, Americans have a very short bandwidth for accents. Okay, they just do, because most Americans don't speak a second language. That's changing in the country. So, you notice that the more disciplined I am, the more free I am. Law is not the enemy of my freedom. It's the precondition which allows me to perform what I need to do, and then ultimately to do it effortlessly. Right now, I'm not even looking at any notes. I am literally preaching extemporaneously. Now, let's use another analogy. Who is more free to play golf? Me or Tiger Woods? Tiger Woods is more free to play golf. Why is Tiger more free to play golf? It's because he follows the laws of physics at a level that few on this planet will ever do. Even now, with all the injuries and the baggage of his past, he still plays golf in the one half of the 1% of the world. He plays the sport at a level that most hackers will never, ever imagine. And Tiger, by the way, isn't free to play golf because every time he steps up to the ball, he just decides to willy-nilly it and just do whatever he likes. So all of this type of freedom that I'm presenting is what we call freedom for excellence. It's the capacity to do what we ought to do, what we should do. Now, how is that at variance with the current American sense of freedom? Americans generally tend to look at freedom as something called freedom from constraint. In other words, no one can tell me what to do, when to do it, and with whom to do it. And the less restrictions that are placed on me, the more free I am. You see how these are very different concepts? Which means to say that we as believers can actually embrace discipline, we can embrace sacrifice, we can embrace restraint that governs our unmitigated desire to want to do whatever we please. Now, is there a level of freedom from constraint in all of us? Sure. When we always bristle at rules, right? Sometimes we just don't like being told that this is the way we're going to do things. We'd rather do things our way. But from a biblical perspective, if you look at the Old Testament and the New taken together, law is always, if it comes from God, oriented ultimately towards our freedom. So this is why in the Old Testament, time and again, you will hear the psalmist from the book of Psalms, or even Moses and Joshua, and the early Israelites talking about how the more they followed God's law, the freer they became to become his people. And so the same is with us. Most Catholics struggle with the moral teachings of the church. They think that they are impositions on their unbridled freedom. The biblical understanding of freedom is actually the opposite. No, it's actually the moral teachings of the church which give us the precondition necessary not to live however we want. That's caprice, freedom from constraint. No, we're oriented towards a freedom for excellence. That means living the way God intended us to live. And that begs two questions, which I'll take up in future homilies. One, who is God in one's life? The self or him? Who is God? Because if the law is given by God, he's creator, we're creatures. He's here, we're not. Question number one. And question number two is, do we understand on a deep level that God's law is actually promoting our true, authentic happiness? The world tells us something very different. The world tells us you will only be happy if you do you. You do you, you're happy. You live the fullness of personal expression. You take whatever pronouns you like. You go, girl, boy. The church, the moral teachings of Christ, present us with a very, very diametrically opposed view of authentic human flourishing rooted in our discipline of the law, which gives us true freedom. So as we as a nation reflect on our gifts from Almighty God in this country we call the United States, during this week of Independence Day, I invite each of you to take seriously these concepts about freedom, especially as they apply to one's individual life. Do I look at the law of God as freeing me to be the best person, the best version of myself He created me to be, because I am firmly convinced and believe that He is God and I am not, and whatever He gives me in law as gift is intended for my authentic human flourishing. May Jesus Christ be praised both now and forever, and may God bless the United States of America.